Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dadon Tolbert. Feels good to be back live tonight to talk about an issue that we often talk about here on this show, and I felt like tonight it deserved its own night. But what I found is that when I was preparing, you know, a list of things that I wanted to get into, I realized that we're not going to be able to get it all done tonight because I'm not one of those people who likes to just talk, you know, just likes to talk, period. You know what I'm saying? I like to not only talk, but talk with a purpose and talk with an intention of getting a solution, accomplishing something, accomplishing change. So what I wanted to do is break tonight up into a two-night special, maybe even a three-night special, where we identify parenting in the black community and where there exists a, you know, the problem with that. So we want to talk about the problems. We want to talk about some very common issues that are resulting in our youth being led astray, you know, idolizing people who have no business being idolized. So we want to talk about the problem, what exactly is going on. But then we also want to talk about tonight the solution. We want to talk about what are some things that we as a community can do, some of the things that we as parents can do, to just us as people who care can do to really help positively influence our children and steer them in the right direction. So that's what we're here for tonight. You guys are welcome. If you have questions or comments or solutions or want to help identify a problem that that you may be passionate about from a parenting perspective as far as what's being seen from much of our youth, definitely feel free to call in tonight. 646-200-0366. Hit the number one on your keypad. And, you know, we're just talking tonight. Courtney is here with me this evening. Courtney, how are you? I'm sorry, Courtney. Go ahead now.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. This issue of parenting is something that, you know, I'm very passionate about. How do you feel about what we're seeing from our youth in today's society?
I don't like what I see. I don't like it at all. And it's it just shows that it's very clear that there is a lack of good parenting, you know, and it's an absence in a lot of cases. A lot of the times children are raising themselves, and it's apparent through, you know, the way that they carry themselves, the way that they dress, et cetera, et cetera. So I can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm excited also because it's interesting. You guys know what I do, what I've been doing for the last 10 or so years, as we've been shedding light on issues from a, you know, a relationship standpoint, dating, marriage, you know, working on ways to better, you know, us as a people as far as having love, having healthy, positive, mature, spiritually based, you know, Christian relationships, you know, and that's what we do. That's what we're here for. But a lot of times when we venture outside of that, people think, oh, no, they're talking about something else. No, we're not talking about something else. We're talking about that exact topic because it starts in the home, okay? Love, if you want love, if you want marriage, if you want a happy home, a happy family, it starts with your upbringing. Okay, it starts with, if you look at, there have been surveys and studies done on this. When you look at people, even myself included, I'd be a good example of that. When you look at historically people who are brought up in a loving, stable, two-parent home, typically, more often than not, those are going to be the people who end up being in that small percentage of couples who actually make it. Okay, it's, you know, typically, and I'm not saying you can't be outside of, you know, outside of that, but what I'm saying is more often than not, you know, you're going to see people who grew up around love end up finding love, you know, and so what we want to talk about is how can we help that? How can we facilitate more healthy households so that the next generation, because, I mean, unfortunately, this generation is what it is. There's not a lot that can be done. I mean, you see these kids out here. I'm not saying that they're all bad, but you see a lot of these kids out here. You see the homes that they're in. You see the environments. You see the negativity. You see the brokenness, you know. And so that's just going to really play a role in the next generation. And you got to look at the root of this stuff. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight, is the role of mothers. We want to talk about the role of fathers, you know, because a lot of people think that, you know, when you talk about parenting, it's just, okay, we are parents and we both do this and we're here for the same thing. No, no, no. The role of the mother is very, very specific, and the role of the father is very, very specific. But understand, both must go hand in hand. A lot of times people are trying to make the best of a bad situation. A lot of times people are trying to make the best of an ungodly situation, a non-biblically based situation, and then wondering why it doesn't exactly work out the way they want it to, wondering why it's so tough, wondering why it's so hard. You know, you ever try to do a puzzle and you just really try and try and try to fit a piece into the puzzle in a place where it just doesn't go? It might look okay. You know what I'm saying? You might squeeze it up in there. It might, you know, it's not going to fit. But, you know what I'm saying? It may do the best that it can do because, you know, you're trying to force it in there. But it just doesn't fit. And that's what happens when you see a lot of these single-parent households. See, a lot of people don't like to hear that. But when you look up in what the Word says about parenting, when you look up what the Word says about how children should be raised, how relationships should be formed, how the formation of family, it involves a mother, it involves a father. In fact, if you look at Proverbs 31, which so many women want to, you know, classify themselves in and kind of use that as the benchmark of how they want to conduct themselves. Well, the reality is Proverbs 31 is about a wife. The entire passage is about a wife and how that wife cares for her family and how that wife takes care of her children, or her husband, and how that wife manages her household. That's what it's giving you guys, a blueprint on how to be. But it's not, you know what I'm saying? So understand what it is. And if you guys missed our classic special on the definition of a Proverbs 31 woman, definition of a virtuous wife, definitely check that out. And, you know, that's available at DaDonTolbertShow.com as well as iTunes, as are the rest of the shows that we've done in the history, you know, over the last 10 years or so. Courtney, any thoughts on that? You and I did that show together on Proverbs 31.
Oh, I enjoyed that. I really did, because I want to become a wife one day. So, you know, I was enjoying it and learning myself. So, and then I also got some great feedback on it, too. A lot of ladies that listened to the show, they were saying how much they enjoyed it. So, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, definitely. So this is how I want to start out, because, you know, like I say, we're not going to try to – sometimes we've done that. We end up going till like, you know, 12:05, 12:10, trying to squeeze everything. I already know this has the potential to be one of those nights, just looking at all this stuff that I want to get into. But like I said, we're going to break it up, you know, into three shows. So just if we wrap up tonight a little bit early, don't fret, okay? This is something that really deserves, you know, patience and, you know, a meticulous nature of examining, you know, everything that's going on and what needs to be done. Because this is important. Our kids are under attack, not just, you know, by so many different areas, but, you know, the government, you know, by the entertainment industry, which is really one and the same, by each other, you know what I'm saying? Or, I mean, whether it's niggas out here with guns looking to rob, steal, and kill. You got, you know, our kids under attack in that area. You got, you know what I'm saying, from an educational standpoint, from a, police. So, I mean, they're just coming at us from all different angles, you know, or even if it's just young black women. You know what I'm saying? Young black women are just as much at risk from, you know, these, they're being targeted by, you know, the entertainment industry, the powers that be, to give you guys these negative examples of how you should be conducting yourself, how you should be living your life, who you should look up to and think is cool. But then at the same time, black women are under attack. You know what I'm saying? Young black women, by black women. lot of women, you know, people might say, well, what do you mean by that, Dana? Well, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but abortion is real. You know, in fact, abortion is the number one killer of us. It's the number one killer in the black community is abortion. There are more abortions than there are murders. Real quick, you guys, there are more abortions than there are. A lot of people will talk about the murder rate. You look at Chicago, you look at Philadelphia, look at, you know, California, Detroit. You hear these statistics on the murder rate. That's what you hear on the news, you know, but you don't hear the news reporting the number of abortions in the black community. Have you ever noticed that, Courtney?
Yeah, I have. It's almost like taboo to talk about. You know, no one wants to talk about that.
Interesting, right? Very interesting. The reason being is because, again, it's modern-day population control. You know what I'm saying? It's actually, you know, they're doing the types of things that bring about the mentality, the types of situations that make women feel like they have no other option but to have an abortion. Because when you, and this is where I want to really get into it, because when you look at why do women have abortions? I mean, let's just really, really break it down. What's the real reason that someone would lay down with someone, okay, knowing, you know, without a con, and again, we're going to take rape out of it. We're not talking about rape tonight. But, you know, when you look at what happens, what typically happens, what is usually the environment, the circumstances that, you know, surrounds, you know, abortion, the decision of abortion, it's usually something that results from a casual, non-committal, dead-end, friend-with-benefits situation. That's actually usually how it happens, let's be honest. You know, and so what ends up happening is because the situation, you know, prior to the baby being conceived is already less than favorable, you know, usually, you know, it's some form of poverty or you know, lack of financial security, lack of job security already, you know what I'm saying? And then you look, and I'm talking statistically as far as the percentages of lower income, you know, abortions versus rich or middle to upper class abortions. It's an overwhelmingly, you know, it's slanted towards the lower class. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of it does have to do with poverty. So the mentality is, wow, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm already not secure. And so that's one. So I don't want to bring a child into this environment. But then on top of that, it's, well, dang, I mean, yeah, I'm not even secure myself, but if I had someone there to at least help out, at least I had someone who gave a damn about me, who loved me, who was even going to be there financially or even emotionally, then maybe it would be okay. But then when you combine all of those factors together, a lot of times it's like, you know, I just got, and again, I've counseled literally hundreds of women who've actually had abortions. So a lot of this, what I'm saying, is coming straight from the mouths of women who've actually had abortions for these exact reasons why I'm saying. You understand that? And so what we have to do as a community is first stop creating the environment, okay, that leads to broken homes, that leads to that dead-end mentality, like, wow, I've got to do this. And now here's the thing. Now I commend the people who, even in the midst of, I shouldn't say the people, the women, who even in the midst of that dead-end situation, even in the midst of the heartbreak, the heartache, you know, the pain, the turmoil, the abuse even, who say, you know what, I'm not going to abort this baby. Yes, I know you don't want me. Yes, I have no idea how I'm going to survive, how I'm going to provide for this baby, but I don't even know you yet, little child, but I love you already, and I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to take the easy way out and have an abortion just because of a mistake that I chose to make. I'm going to actually do this. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the first, and I'm speaking specific, we'll talk about the men, but I'm speaking specifically to the women right now, because that is the first step of being a great parent, is having the courage to say, I'm not going to take the easy way out. I'm going to raise this child because it is a life. What are your thoughts on that, Courtney?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's awesome, you know, to the women that do make that decision, because I know people personally that are products of that type of situation where the parent was going to or thought about aborting them, but then decided against it and, you know, raised them. And so I think that's very admirable. It really is, because, like you said, it's so easy just to, you know, take the easy way out. And but so, yeah, that's what I have to say about that.
And make no mistake about it, when I say take the easy way out, I don't really mean, and I don't mean to make light of abortions, because I know from a physical standpoint, from a emotional standpoint, and certainly from a spiritual standpoint, you know, even financial standpoint, you are going to, you know, there will be consequences, there will be ramifications. I, believe me, I get that. You know what I'm saying? But be that as it may, you know, it, so, you know, actually going through with that is a lot easier than actually, you know, taking on that responsibility of raising a child. So there's that. So then when you look at after the decision is made to have the child, even though you've not taken the easy way out, and you said, you know what, I am going to have this baby, there's a lot that comes with that. Because this is where we get to actual parenting and the problems with parenting. Because here what you have is, remember, we're talking about finances. We're talking about, a lot of times, most cases, lack of education, you know, lack of resources, lack of even a family. You know, so what often happens is you end up taking on the responsibility, but you find yourself way over your head. So you're trying to make ends meet, whether it's through welfare, whether it's, you know, working a job, you know, or a low-paying job, because you're not really qualified to get a high-paying job that would adequately support, you know, you sending your child to child care. I'm talking about a good child care facility, you know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, you know, the baby ends up with mom, you know, when I say mom, I mean grandmom, you know, auntie, whoever, you know, who most likely has their own situation going on and was not necessarily prepared to just step in and take on, you know, a full-time job of watching a child because you can't afford child care, you know, and it's easier and more convenient just to give her to mom. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do what you have to do. I'm not saying you shouldn't utilize your resource, but I'm just saying that is not an ideal situation to raise a child. See, I have a two-year-old. I went through, my wife and I both went through getting up early in, you know, middle of the night, staying up all night, sitting up, agonizing, you know, not getting a wink of sleep just because your child can't stop crying because she's teething. You guys know about what that's like. See, we were able to alternate and rotate and say, okay, you get some sleep, I'll stay up, and we'll, you know what I'm saying, let's give her the medicine, try. You know, and that's just teething. That's not, you know, other stuff going, you know what I'm saying? That's not just baby stuff. That's just one instance of it. But that's, that's what I'm telling you. These are things that we went through together, and it was tough, and we got no sleep and ended up being exhausted. So just imagine, you know what I'm saying, having to go through that without, you know, by yourself, you know, that, and I'm just trying to paint a picture for some of you already know exactly what I'm talking about, but for those of you who aren't parents or are just trying to get an understanding of how it goes on, I'm trying to paint the picture, because what happens is going through something that's designed for two people by yourself is naturally, it's inevitable. It's inevitable not to feel some type of way, not to feel some type of chip on your shoulder. It's inevitable not to have some form of resentment and even downright bitterness, you know, within yourself. Now, I'm not saying that can't be overcome, but trust me, if you know that all this stuff is supposed to be shared, this responsibility from a financial, emotional, time perspective, and it's, you know, somebody who is a deadbeat bastard. We rebroadcasted our show the other night on how to avoid dealing with a deadbeat bastard. If you're actually dealing with one of those types of men, when you know he should be there with you, when you know that his direct deposit should be split up to a portion of that going to you to support your son or your daughter, that's going to piss you off. So what a lot of times happens is that mother ends up, you know, walking around with this chip on her shoulder, but then also, you know, a lot of times taking that out on the child. Now, again, when I say, listen to what I'm saying. When I say taking it out on the child, I mean that sometimes actually taking it out on the child as far as beating them and hitting them or yelling at them or just having an attitude with them, that is often the case, believe me. But sometimes you don't do that. Sometimes you're not that type of person to yell and scream and hit. But a lot of times you end up, you know, just passing that vibe on. You know what I'm saying? These children can pick up everything. They see, they hear conversations, even if they may not repeat it. They usually do, you know, but even if they don't necessarily repeat it right after you say it, they're a lot of times taking it in and just, you know what I'm saying? I see my daughter doing it. You know what I mean? I see other kids doing it. And so that energy, that negative energy that fills the household will be passed on to them. And that creates a certain negativity in that child that is planted at such a young age. A lot of times people are wondering why, you know, you see these teenagers, you see these, you know, young men, these young women with just these attitudes, you know, and they've just always been not happy campers. You got to look at where that started from. Look at what they saw growing up from mommy, from daddy, the fights. You know, the arguments, the F you, no F you, get the hell out, you know what I'm saying? These are things that kids pick up on. And I tell you guys all the time, I have literally the happiest baby or daughter in the world right now just because she's growing up in a happy environment. Every picture you see, you know, she's laughing, she's smiling, she's giggling. There's a reason for that. And I'm not trying to brag. Actually, I am, but I'm just saying, look around at some of these other kids. Just look around. Like, look at them. And you will see that a lot of these kids are just not happy kids. They're not happy babies. You see, I mean, Courtney, you know, come on, I know I'm not alone here. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Have you seen kids that you just look at and it's like, wow, they're just not happy?
Yeah, you know, they're angry. A lot of times you see they can't be still. They're always running around. Like, you can't keep them in one spot for long. It's like they're anxious all the time. Yeah, I see that all the time. And you know, like, right off, you know, that, like, even though you don't know their situation, you automatically know that, okay, this child is coming from a single-parent household.
Right.
And they're not happy.
Right, right. And what we have to start doing, and this is what, there's a real big problem out here, not just with parenting, but just with everything. There's a serious problem with speaking the truth. Because I don't know what the heck is going on. We did a whole show on it recently. But, I mean, everything is not being judgmental. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, really, certain things need to be talked about. It's not being judgmental. If there's a problem, we got to talk about it. How else are problems going to be solved if you don't talk about it? Nowadays, anytime you talk about something where there's a problem, oh, you need to stop judging them. Like, what are you talking about? This is a problem. This is sin. You know, people quote the Bible, you know, as it's convenient for them. But if you see kids walking around with their asses out, you know, don't just say, oh, no, you know, don't, let's not judge them. No, we need to judge them. We need to talk about them. Like, yo, where are the parents? You know, you failed as a parent if your kids are walking down the street, you know, with their butt crack showing. You have failed as a parent. You did not do your job. I don't care who has a problem with that, but you know, I mean, I see it every day, and I'm just looking around like, yo, where are these parents? What are these parents? What kind of parent lets their child? Because I know they're not there. They're not there to see it. But it's not about, that's the whole point of raising your kids, so that they don't do the things, you know what I'm saying? For example, I did not act a fool whether my parents could see me or not see me. That didn't matter. It was how I was raised, taught me to have respect for myself, have respect for my elders, for authority. You know, so I didn't act like whether I was being watched or not. And these kids just weren't raised that way. And everybody wants to talk about, I mean, I don't know what people are talking about. People just don't care anymore. They just ignore it, and they'd rather talk about Trayvon Martin or somebody else when there's some type of injustice. Let's talk about the Gina 6. Let's talk about Trayvon. Let's talk about all this other stuff. But nobody wants to talk about the lack of parenting in these situations. People want to talk about Trayvon, but they don't want to talk about Trayvon calling himself a no-limit nigger and getting high every night. People want to talk about the Gina Six being arrested on trumped-up charges, but nobody wants to talk about the actual charges. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to talk about the fact that they actually were criminals. They actually committed crimes. Yes, the charges were trumped up and didn't necessarily fit the crime, but let's actually talk about the crime. Like, you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying, Corey? Nobody actually wants to talk about the problems. They want to talk about the effect of the problem. People want to talk about even Rodney King. Oh, yeah, Rodney King was beaten, but let's talk about what Rodney King was actually pulled over for in the first place. Let's talk about his actual criminal record. Nobody wants to talk about that. That's where we are failing as parents. That's where we are failing as a community. Am I lying?
No. We're all talking no action.
It's ridiculous. That's what we're here for tonight, is to talk, not just talk, but actually talk and back it up with action. Because everything that we're talking about tonight is valid and is, you know, evident. You can't help but see it. These kids out here got guns. These kids out here have nothing to live for. I'll tell y'all a quick story. It's funny. I wasn't even going to do this show tonight, to be honest with you. But I got so riled up earlier today. You know what I'm saying? I was in the, shout out to TRC Auto Sales. Real quick plug. You know, the new business is up and it's official. It's running. Come check us out if you need a new car. But I'm over down at the car lot. You know what I'm saying? I took a couple cars to get some work done. So I'm in the waiting room getting a couple things done. And it was me, another Christian brother, another guy, and then a white guy, and then a single mom who was like the receptionist. And we had a very interesting conversation. Me and the Christian dude, older gentleman, we were just talking about these kids and our experiences with kids and what we see out here. And, they were parents as well. Like, one guy was saying how his young daughter is, you know, kind of out there a little bit because she lives with her mom. And, you know, it's a struggle because she is being brought up in a dual household. And another guy, you know, other older gentleman was saying how his nephew told his grandmom to suck his, you know what I'm saying? And this is someone obviously being raised by her, no respect. And so we had a really good conversation. So that's what really led me to do, you know, this show tonight, because I was just like so hyped. We talked about so much stuff. And then, but there's that. But check this out. The white guy. It was really unfortunate because I was sitting kind of catty corner to him, and every so often, you know, I would look up, and he would say little things every once in a while, but he was kind of just observing because you could tell that he really just couldn't relate. And it was really unfortunate. Well, it was fortunate for him because I'm glad he couldn't relate, because I was almost, it was just like he was looking like, dang. Not like in a bad way, not like in a racist way, but it was just like, what do you say? It was almost like he felt uncomfortable that we as a community have to go through stuff that most likely he doesn't, and probably nobody even in his circle has to deal with, just because they were raised in a different way, which is unfortunate. You know what I'm saying? It's unfortunate. And so I think we have to do a better job of leveling the playing field. And a lot of it does have to do with, there's a lot of factors to it. You know, they're not, white people are not as behind the eight ball as we are. There's not that attack. There are, you know, the environment is not, the structure is not put in place for them to fail like the way it is for us. I get it. We are put in an environment for as black men that we are hopefully not going to make it out of. For, you know, from their perspective, they want us to end up in those jails. That's why they're building more jails, just to get ready for us. You know, they're setting up more and more abortion clinics, you know, for you ladies out there just waiting on y'all to get knocked up at 17. They're putting these entertainers like Beyonce and the rest of them out there for you guys to follow. That'll lead y'all straight to the clinic and straight to the abortion line, a welfare office, which are continuously making the government rich. These are all, you know, pieces of the equation that have been put in place for us to fail. I get that. You know, the school systems create the lack of education, that will perpetuate the poverty, you know. And so, you know, it's set up for us to fail. But all those things being said, people like myself made it out. You know, people like Courtney, who can grow up in Chicago, you know, and make it out, you know, and be successful and not be a hoe, not, and I can grow up to not be a nigga, you know, like some of these other guys out here, you know, and that's what we all have to strive to do. And as parents, we have to become passionate about the problem. You see what I'm saying? Like, you can't, like, for example, and we'll talk about some other stuff, but, like, you can't see certain influence. Like, we talk a lot about Beyonce here, you know, and you know, a lot of times the number one rebuttal is, well, you know, she's not a role model and these parents should, you know, do X, Y, and Z, and it's their job, and she's a grown woman, and she can do whatever she wants to do. And these are all things that are correct. But and that's why I said in a perfect world, you know, that would be the case. In a perfect world, you know, these kids would have parents, you know, who followed the teachings of Jesus Christ and actually raised their children correctly, actually had respect for themselves, actually grew up, who raised them right. But this generation of parents was already raised. That's where the problem is already, you know, in existence. Like, for example, you figure, you know, a 24, 25-year-old woman today, a 25-year-old mom, she's in this new generation where most likely she was born into the single parent parent home herself. And in most cases, more than 50%, she probably grew up with no father or a piss-poor example of a father. So she's already, you know, in most cases, the already has a jaded and tarnished example of what a loving family looks like to begin with. Because unfortunately, it goes back to these low-down, dirty bastard men who impregnate these women and then roll out, and they don't do what they're supposed to do. So those 25-year-old moms, you know, who now have already had to live life the hard way, have already found out the hard way, already walking around with a chip on their shoulders more often than not. So now these kids, the same people are saying, well, it starts at home. Well, what home? The mom is out there working 2-3 jobs trying to make ends meet. These kids are being raised by grandma, spending time at the daycare, you know, wherever, foster care in many cases. Well, like, what parents? You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, and I apologize if I'm not talking to you, but understand, you are the minority if I'm not talking about you. The vast majority of parents out here are jacked up. The vast majority of kids out here are jacked up and are products of unhealthy, unstable environments. There are a lot of great kids out here, a lot of great parents out here, but unfortunately, statistically, they're the minority. I am the minority. Courtney is the minority. You guys, even listening to this show, are the minority. What's today, Tuesday? The majority of people are not listening to the Daydon Talbert Show. The majority of people are probably watching whatever it is on TV right now, some trash. You see what I'm saying? So don't. A lot of times we get, you know, pigeonholed into thinking, oh, well, this is my reality, so this is all that exists. No, the majority is jacked up. Now, look, what a lot of people are saying, well, what should you do? A lot of times what happens is these kids, these moms are so, I'm just being real tonight. I'm going to ruffle some feathers, but I'm just being honest tonight because this is exactly how it goes down. I'm about to tell you exactly what happens. A lot of times these kids, these little boys, we'll talk about it from both perspectives, but for right now we'll say the little boys, these sons of these mothers, 25, 26, or younger, or 17, or 21, whatever the case, they end up, you know, in their own state of depression in many cases, state of misery. So they end up living life with a chip on their shoulder. And then so when it comes time to discipline their children, they, in many cases, are so unhappy themselves. They are willing to do anything and everything to make sure that these kids do not even ever have to feel any level of uncomfortability or any level of unhappiness, if possible. So what inadvertently happens, and sometimes advertently, ends up happening is these kids end up getting spoiled. They end up having the new Jordans. They end up on welfare, but rocking Jordans. Having food stamps, but going out to eat at these expensive restaurants. You know, like ridiculous types of stuff. You know, getting rims on, moms driving around with rims on the car, you know, and the kids have no type of college fund. Or forget college fund. Don't even have a savings account. You know what I'm saying? Just absolute craziness. So what ends up happening is kids end up being spoiled. And that, because the kids are being spoiled, these kids grow up talking back, you know, wanting to be these parents' friends, calling them by their first names. And this is all stuff that, you know, will lead to, I'm talking about at 2 years old, at 3 years old, at 4 years old, this leads to 10 years later, these guys not having any respect for anybody. Because think about it. If you were able to tell your mom no and to cuss your mom out and call your mom by her first name and whatever, what kind of respect are you going to have for your teachers? What kind of respect are you going to have for, you know, other adults, even police officers or whoever? Probably not too much. And that's what happened, but that's where it originates. A lot of it comes from not being spoiled or not being disciplined, resulting in these kids being spoiled. Well, what does the Bible say about that? Over in Proverbs 13:24 says, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent. This is amazing right here. You would think that as clear as the word is, that more parents would actually discipline their kids, would actually not be afraid to use the rod. Don't spare the rod, but actually use it. See, a lot of people don't understand. These kids aren't even popping there. I used to get popped back in the day by my mom. But see, my dad, he didn't pop us. He actually got the rod. You know what I'm saying? A wooden rod. Make a little circle with your index finger, you know, and your thumb, you know what I'm saying, and make it as small as possible. And it was like a little rod like that thin, you know what I'm saying, but a little piece of wood. I don't know where the heck he got that thing from, but, you know, he kept it in a nice place, and he used to wear us out with it, you know, an actual rod. But I don't know. You guys tell me. I think I turned out okay. You know what I'm saying? And that is a result of, you know, not sparing the rod, you know, because he loves his, you know what I'm saying, loves him and is diligent to discipline him, discipline us all. See, a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people don't want to embrace that because they feel as though that anger, it can't relate because they weren't loved in many cases by their father or in many cases by their mom. So it's hard for them as parents to see the rationale between beating their children out of love because they didn't do it. See, I can do that. I can discipline my daughter. Hey, I can discipline my nephew. I punch my nephew in the chest if he gets out of line. But that's out of love. You see what I'm saying? Because that was done to me. And I know that it was done to me out of love, so I'm able to pass that along out of love. But if you never experienced love, then how are you going to be able to do the same thing? And so what happens is you end up spoiling these kids, and these kids end up showing their asses as they walk down the streets. I know I'm talking a lot tonight, Quinn, but I'm passionate about this stuff. What are your thoughts?
I mean, you are so right. I wasn't able to make that correlation at first as to why the children, you know, were spoiled, you know, because their parents, you know, didn't get love, and I didn't even look at it that way. But I'm so happy that you broke it down because, I mean, I see that all the time, and I see kids that dress better than their parents. Like, that's how spoiled these kids are, you know. And I believe in, even though I don't have children at this point, I do believe in disciplining my children because I'm doing it out of love. And I was disciplined as a child. I think I'm okay. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, see, and let's just call it what it is. Were you beat as a child, Courtney? Did you get spankings?
Yeah, I did.
Exactly. That's, you know, because people like to sugarcoat it. You know, not you or me, but I'm saying people, they actually like to just, oh, yeah, well, I discipline. No, I'm not talking about time out. I'm not talking about, you know what I'm saying? Like, my dad, see, people don't understand. My dad actually washed my mouth out with soap one time. People think that's just, you know, like some form of, you know, cliche. You know, say, oh, I'm going to wash it. No. He actually gripped me up, you know, swung me around. I don't even remember what I said, but it actually, like, took a washcloth, lathered it up with soap, gripped me up by the back of my neck, and literally washed my mouth out with soap. You understand? And I bet you I didn't curse anymore after that. You know, and these are things that happen. And some people go, wow, that's kind of extreme. But guess what? It's, you know, 9:41 here in Philadelphia. It's other people my same age standing out on a corner right now, toting illegal guns, plotting on robbing somebody right now. As I'm here doing this talk show, there are other people who I probably grew up with who are out doing different things. That's the difference. That's the difference between being spared the rod and someone not being spared the rod. This is deep stuff, guys. We're here live tonight. We're talking about parenting or lack thereof, you know, in the black community. What are some things that are problematic? What are some things that can be done to solve this problem? But that right there is a major one of them, a big part of them. Don't spare the rod. And again, don't look at it. I don't care how you were brought up, even if you were the product of, you know, a one-parent household. You know, so what? What else does the Bible say about it? The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. That's Proverbs 29:15. Well, ain't that the truth? The rod and reproof, beating these kids out of love, actually disciplining them, cussing them out. Not, you know what I'm saying, not literally, but actually disciplining them when they get out of line, you know, that will actually give wisdom. A lot of the wisdom that I pass on to you guys through this talk show, through my books, all types of things, counseling, these are things that were given to me, passed on to me by my mother, by my father, by my grandmother, by my grandfather, by my aunts and my uncles, and, you know, my whole family, the whole village. It says, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Let's just really break that down. What does that even mean? Because we're seeing exactly what that means every day. I touched on it earlier. Like I said, if these moms are out here working one job, two jobs, three jobs, you know, to make ends meet, and they're a single mom, there's not a lot of time, you know, that they will have that individual one-on-one attention and reproof, you know, and discipline. There's going to be a lot of after-school time where they are left to fend for themselves, left to themselves. And what happens when they're left to themselves? Well, they end up being raised by these celebrity, and I use this term loosely, role models, entertainers, idols, you know, politicians, who are passing along a very negative message. And so they end up seeing the people in the media more than they do their actual family. So everyone who's out there saying, well, oh, Beyonce's an entertainer, it's not her job. Well, no, it's not her job per se, you know, but if she's the main people that these people see more than their own mothers, and they're saying, well, she's a mother, well, then maybe I can adopt her in my mind as my own mom. You know, at least she's married. My mom is out there getting smashed off on Friday nights by whoever. At least, you know what I'm saying, let me embrace her. That's what's happening. And the reason why we have such, you know, I speak so much about, you know, these entertainers, you're right, they're not their responsibility, but they know their audience. That just as easily as I'm able to break all this stuff down, they know exactly what they're doing. Beyonce knows exactly what she's doing. Jay-Z knows exactly how influential he is. This guy, the whole freaking world, you know, was wearing jerseys. I grew up, I had an Alonzo Mourning Team USA jersey. I spent my whole paycheck from my job at this one job I was working at back in the day just because that's what was hot. Like, everybody had the jerseys. Like, Brent, nobody had this. It was like the Team USA, Alonzo Mourning jersey. You couldn't tell me I wasn't the man, you know? And next thing you know, Jay-Z comes out with, what's the name? Change clothes. You know what I'm saying? Next thing, boom, no more jerseys. I'm like, yo, what the heck happened to jerseys? One song changed an entire culture. You know that, right, Courtney? That was a little bit before your time, but you remember when everybody's wearing jerseys, right?
Yeah, I do.
Next thing you know, everybody's
yeah,
wearing button up.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like one, I don't know, if I think it was like the summer. Boom. You can't tell me that if somebody has that type of influence, kids aren't going to gravitate towards them, even more so their own parents. Same thing with Beyonce, who's even more influential than Jay-Z. That's how influential Jay-Z is. Imagine what Beyonce makes a song about partition. Next thing you know, all these little girls talking about sucking. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we have to, and again, people say, well, you can't blame them. No, you can blame them because they're responsible and they are the problem. You know, but at the same time, we can talk about, you know, what can be done to counteract that. Because you can't do anything about the entertainers. You can't do anything about the drug dealers, the strippers, you know, whoever. But as my parents did with me, you can role play. I tell you guys all the time, there were times we actually did role plays. We actually would, you know, because we walked to school. We would take the bus to school. You know, we would actually sit down as a family and say, okay, so what happens when somebody offers you marijuana? What happens when somebody says, hey, look, smoke on this or snort this or this is, you know, why don't you see what's up with this gang or whatever the case was. We already knew how to conduct ourselves from a family standpoint, but then at the same time, as a father, my father, you know, same type of thing. Like, he actually, like, told us, like, how to be men, how to be street smart, how to hold our hands. I took martial arts growing up. You know, we were taught how to defend ourselves. We were taught, but not just how to defend ourselves, but just how to interact. I can count on one hand how many fights I've been in. That's not, you know, because I'm a punk or anything. It's just because I know how to interact. I know how to look men in the eye. I know how to, you know, be polite. I know how to be respectful. And so a lot of these guys out here, they're ending up in fights. They're ending up shot, dead, killed, in jail because they have no, they weren't taught how to be men. And no disrespect to the ladies, but if you're trying to teach your son how to be a man, that's why a lot of these kids are getting into trouble, because you can't teach a little boy how to be a man. You can't teach a little boy how to look a man and give, you know, in the eye when he shakes a hand. You can't. There's certain things that only a man can teach. There's only certain things. No disrespect to my own sister, who's a single mom, but there's certain things that I teach my nephew that she could never teach him. You understand that? And so you have to understand that. That's the first and most important thing. You cannot do it all. You can try. You can do the best you can. And I salute. I have no problems with any of the women who are making the best of their situation. You know, they've made some mistakes. I have no problem with people who make mistakes and they own up to those mistakes and they do the best that they can from a biblical perspective. That's all you can do. You know what I'm saying? We've done a number of shows on how to be a successful single mom. Courtney, you know, now does over in the Each Woman group, you know, Single Mom Saturdays. I do with my barbershop, Single Mom Saturdays. We give free haircuts to the single moms. You know what I'm saying? But be that as it may, you still have to do what you have to do so that you don't put yourself into those situations to begin with. You understand that, guys? This is important stuff. What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I don't really have anything really to add to it.
Right. This is stuff we got to do. This is stuff that's important. This is stuff that is, you know, an epidemic, you know, because, you know, and I say that, people say, wow, you know, HIV is an epidemic. Well, when you look at statistically what's going on out here, it's just as bad. It's just as detrimental, you know. What else does the Bible say about it? Over in Hebrews 12:11 says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You understand that? That's Hebrews 12:11. It seems painful. A lot of kids, a lot of moms, I don't know too many fathers, but a lot of moms actually have a problem disciplining because it seems too painful. But it says it later yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. If you don't have that peaceful fruit, a lot of times you end up, you know, you might not discipline them, but they go be disciplined by the police. It's better you beat them than them than get beat like Rodney King got beat. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather get beat by my father than get beat down by some cops or beat down into some type of gang. You know, I'd rather that rod than some type of taser that these cops be having. You know, and that's what I'm saying. I know a lot of kids, you know, who actually have had run-ins with the law. I've had, I mean, you know, relatively zero run-ins with the law. You know, I've been pulled over. I've gotten tickets and different things, but it's never been, like, something crazy. And the time, you know, to be honest with you, the worst times were by black cops, to be honest with you. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, look at these scriptures, though. They all give you a blueprint on how to conduct yourself. You know, let's talk a little bit about, though, the roles. I told you guys earlier we were going to talk about the roles of, you know, of the mother, the role of the father. Courtney, from your perspective, what would you say, how would you define the role of a mom?
I think, when I think of mothers, I think of, you know, someone who is nurturing. It just has a very gentle spirit. I think fathers, I mean, they can be nurturing too, but I think it's more so, you know not to mess with the father. You know, it's like he's the disciplinarian. You know, he puts his foot down, and it's obvious that, you know, he's the leader of the household and the provider. So that's how I look at it.
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, and that's historically how it's been for many households. This is what my definition, you know, how I would assess the roles. I look at it from this perspective. You know, kids need a balanced household. That's how it was in my house. Like exactly what Courtney just described is how it was for me. Like with me, my mom was that nurturer. She was more so that parent that everybody would run to when they wanted something. They say, "Mom, oh, can I have some ice cream or can I do X, Y?" She's like, "Well, you know, ask your father." I'm like, "Oh, never mind. It's okay. I really don't need that, you know, so much anymore." You know, because we were scared to go and ask him because we were like, you know, we just didn't want to have to deal with it. So, and that's, I mean, he was just very strict. You know what I'm saying? Very strict. You know, but that was a good thing. But don't get it twisted. You know, my mom was no slouch, and is no slouch, and was quick to slap you, you know what I'm saying, and quick to grab a broom or a pot or a belt, you know, if need be. But it starts, see, a lot of times when you think of parenting, this is where the conversation goes. It goes to the disciplining. But a lot of people don't realize when you raise a kid the right way, you, to be honest, there's not going to really need to be a lot of beatings, to be honest with you. You know, you might have to do a little something, but it's not going to be like an ongoing thing. It might be like I can probably count on maybe, you know, I might have to use both hands, but it's not more than that. How many times I actually got beat, you know, which I think is pretty good. You know, I mean, really probably like only like 6 or 7 times that I can remember, like actual significant like beatings, like spankings. You know, and that's because, you know, it was done and it was done efficiently and that's just what it was. And so I think that for moms growing up, it goes, you know, when you look at these kids, it goes back to being a child. For me, it goes back to what these kids see emotionally. You know, I mean, when I say emotionally, I mean, how much does mom respect herself? Because a lot of times people don't understand the Carly, like, oh, that's a bad kid, you know, or she's always out, she's promiscuous, she's out there having sex, or, you know, she has a smart mouth. Those are the things you often hear. But when you look at, in most cases, when you look at the mother, and not just when you look at how the mother interacts with that child, but you look at how that mother interacts with her husband or her boyfriend at the time or her ex-husband or her ex-baby dad or whatever the situation is, and you see her being disrespected, when you see her clearly not respecting herself, when you look at these little girls who are looking up to mom being disrespected, a lot of times it becomes hard to, one, you don't respect your parent when you don't, when you see them not respecting themselves. So it's not, a lot of times it's not that they're bad per se, but it's just they just don't respect their mother. And if you can't respect your own mother, then you're not going to respect anybody. And so that's the role of the mom, is to show yourself to be a classy, respectful woman who loves herself, but not just who loves herself, but that does not tolerate being disrespected by anybody, let alone her child's father, whoever. But unfortunately, in today's society, that's what we see a lot of. We see a lot of moms disrespecting themselves, allowing themselves to be disrespected. And these kids see that. So that, under, listen to what I'm saying. That, guys, is exactly where the problem originates. These little kids grow up seeing mom not respect themselves. So they don't respect themselves. They don't respect their mothers. And then they end up, two things, not respecting others and then allowing others to disrespect them. I've, listen to what I'm saying to you. I've personally counseled at least 500 women. If I've counseled 500 women, 490 of them have grown up in a single-parent household with a father who is either not around or, you know, was a not-so-good example of what a father should be, and that they, you know, grew up seeing their mother being disrespected. Can you believe that, Courtney?
Yes, I can. I can. That's, I mean, that's what you see now, single-parent households instead of two-parent households. And, you know, these little girls and boys have to grow up dealing with that. And it takes a toll on them. And it affects them as they grow up as adults. It shows through their actions and the people they choose as their mates. It, I mean, it's all reflective of how they grew up and what they saw in mom.
Right. Right. That's what happens. So... so that's where, that's the most important thing. Because, see, the funny thing is, and really it's actually, I'm saying it, but it's actually one of the most non-funny things, you know, possible. But when you look at, you know, women who are defending people like Beyonce, I mean, really when you look at some of these debates, when you look at some of these threads and just, you know, who's buying this music and who grew up listening to her over the last 15 or 20 years or so. I mean, these women literally have grown up on Beyonce the same way that last generation grew up on Whitney Houston, grew up on Patti LaBelle. I mean, it's not rocket science. You know, my mom grew up on, you know, Lena Horne and, you know, whoever else was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, clearly, these are, it was like a totally different generation. So, you know, they weren't, you know, you're not going to follow in the footsteps of, you know, hoes, basically. And I should, and when you do, you end up, that's, you know, there's going to be a part of you that embraces that type of lifestyle. These women out here, you know, defending Beyonce, a lot of cases, in most cases, are mothers. They love her. So, I mean, what do you do? You, people say, oh, well, you know, it's the parents' responsibility to, you know, to monitor with these kids. Well, if the mom thinks it's okay for them to listen to and they're out there blasting it in the car, when partition comes on, the car seat is in the back, mom is blasting, dancing, getting her dance on to partition and Drunk in Love, singing the lyrics at the top of her lungs, and the baby's right in the back seat, what are the chances of that mother telling the child, oh, no, you know, this is inappropriate for you to listen to? What's the chances, Courtney?
Slim to none.
It's ridiculous. So, I mean, we have to be realistic about this stuff. We have to really look at what's going on, you know, from an actual perspective. These moms are not, in most cases, are not great mothers who actually respect their bodies. You look at, you know, a lot of single moms. When Marv was here, what, a couple of weeks ago, we did this show. I mean, he... I'm just telling you, he said a lot, and this is a single man out here living life now in 2014. He was saying that, you know, a lot of these moms, you know, are in fact the most easy. And me coming from a dating perspective, you know, from back in the day, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I mean, it was the same thing back then. You know, single moms were the easiest to get into bed. Easy. You didn't have to take them out in most cases. You could literally meet them out in the club. Oh, it's, oh yeah, no, I got two kids. Okay, cool. She's like, oh, but what's up? I mean, you can come by. They go to bed at 8. Like, what? I just met you. You're like, I literally, we just exchanged. You're saying I can come to your place? You're going to let me smash after the, like, after no date? Like, just come on over? Just chill? That's how easy it was, because a lot of times, and I'm just being honest, a lot of times, you know, these women are more concerned. It really is sad to have to say this, but in many cases, I won't say most, I won't say all, but in many cases, these single mothers are more concerned with solidifying their own emotional future, and often cases, their own sexual future, than they are making sure their children are taken care of, making sure that their children have positive images around them. But as long as they can get their next piece of penis, you know, as long as they feel like they're on the right track to, you know, to hopefully becoming a wife one day, a lot of times they will sacrifice their children's well-being. And a lot of times it's unfortunate because they don't understand the effect that these kids seeing a different guy every couple weeks, a different guy leaving at different hours of the night, mom, you know, grandmom coming over to watch, oh, here, I'm going to drop you off at your grandmom's tonight. Where are you going? Mommy's going out. Oh, I mean, mom, where's the rest of your clothes at? Your breasts are out, mommy. Mommy, why is your ass out like that? Why you have on?
A kid is not saying that.
I mean, they're saying it in their minds. I can guarantee you. I'm telling you, these kids see. I mean, ladies, you know how sometimes you're going out. You have on these tights. You have on like this tight shirt, nothing covering up the booty, the high heels on, excessive amounts of makeup, the weave hanging down, you know, it's just like, yo, like, where are you going? You know what I mean? You're going out. That, my mom did not dress like that. You know what I'm saying? My homies' moms did not dress like that. I'm talking about when I was young. I don't know, like, you see what I'm saying? There's something that has changed. I never saw moms that looked the way these mothers look now. I did not see them. My mom looked like Felicia Rashad in Cosby Show. Other moms looked like the mom on Family Matters. That's what moms looked like back in the day. Every guy my age will tell you that. Nowadays, moms are looking like, you know, I mean, Nicki Minaj, Beyonce. I'm just saying, like, it was not, you know, that's not what we experienced. And so it's no surprise that you see moms and daughters now partying together. You know, 40-year-old moms going to the same clubs as their 21-year-old daughters. That is a problem. Getting cracked on. Hey, what's up, Dad? Can I talk to you for a minute? Oh, yeah, like playing that little game. There is no way these kids can respect you. They will not respect you. If it's okay for mom to be a hoe, then, you know what I'm saying? And even in these young guys, these young boys, they don't respect their fathers. If you can't even respect your father, how are you going to be able to respect a woman? If your dad didn't even respect your mom, what's to make you respect these women out here? What's to stop you from dogging these women if all you saw was your father being a 50-year-old pimp, a 40-year-old pimp? I mean, the answer is nothing. So to answer the original question of the role of these mothers and fathers, before the beatings, before the sparing the rod, before all that stuff as adults, it all comes back to what kind of example are you setting? Because even if it's not spoken, even if it's something that nobody speaks about, these kids will see it. They will make mental notes. Okay, all right, mom's a hoe. Okay, all right, mom doesn't really respect herself. All right, mom was somebody's friend with benefits for 2 years. Mom has a friend. What's to stop them from having a friend? What's to encourage them to have a actual husband when mom, all she had was a friend with benefits? There's some moms out there listening to me right now, mad as, you know what I'm saying, ready to fight me. Don't fight me. Don't listen silently and secretly, but be pissed off at Dayton Tall. I'm not the problem. I'm just speaking about what actually goes on. I'm speaking about reality. I'm not making this stuff up. This is what actually happens. This is the effect that women actually have. This is the effect that, you know, that's had on these little boys who turn out to be thugs and drug dealers. They don't respect their moms in most cases. They love their moms. See, that's a big difference. That's a big difference. Loving your mom and respecting your mom are two very different things. All right? And a lot of these boys out here love their mothers, but they do not respect their mothers. A lot of these boys, to be honest, a lot of them just don't give a damn about their fathers. They know their fathers, but they don't love them, and they don't respect them, and a lot of times they don't have anything to do with them. And that is a very dangerous combination. So this is deep stuff. I'll be honest with you guys, in my entire life, I've never, to this day, never seen my mom and dad argue or heard them argue. Never. Can you believe that, Courtney?
Wow, that's amazing. Most people cannot relate to what you just said.
Right, right. Not one time. I've seen, joking around. I've heard them have conversations. I've, a lot of different things, but never an argument, certainly never a fight. And that is, that's important. I think that that's important. I think that that's something I'm going to try to uphold for my daughter, because when kids see that type of behavior, they look at it as negative. And then a part of them, it lowers the bar for what they will themselves settle for. So, it is what it is. Divorces and, when you look at just what's going on, it's the opposite of the Bible. It's, whether it's divorce, whether it's sex, whether it's single-parent homes, whether it's, drugs, promiscuity. So many different things. Kids running around spoiled. It's all a result of being non-biblical. You have to do things. When you do things the Bible's, God's way, basically, things are going to go run smoothly. When you don't, they're not going to run smoothly. So, it's just, it's unfortunate. One of the things I was saying about parents is that the best parents don't allow celebrities to become role models to their children. They actually are the role models. Parents actually are the role models to these kids. So there's no need for kids to look elsewhere for T.I. or Jay-Z or Lil Wayne. They actually have real-life superheroes, real-life examples of people that they can look up to and actually try to be like, because there's nothing wrong with that. When you try to be like Beyonce, when you try to be like Jay-Z, that's a problem. When you try to be like your father, when you try to be like your mom, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're brought up to do. But if they're not doing what they're supposed to do, you're still going to be like them regardless. You have no choice. See, that's what I think a lot of people don't realize. One way or another, that's where we get into generational curses and things like that. Google our show on generational curses that me, Courtney, and Reverend Ann did a couple years ago, did a great show on Soul Ties. These are all shows that, are all-time classics, but generational curses are real. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to be like your parents one way or another. Like me, there's certain things about my father that I just am. Some good, some bad, but it's like, wow, when people say, wow, I see you, that's what you and your father, that's your father, that's your mom, you get that from, those things are true. There's certain things about that my daughter does already that just straight are things that about me that I naturally do. There are things that she does that she's never even seen me do, but she already does just because it's already in her. It's actually amazing. So that's what I'm saying. That what I'm saying to you is some things you can control. Other things, are they're going to take after you regardless what you do, so you better make sure that those things are good. What are your thoughts on that, Quinn? It's a deep stuff.
It is. What I'll say is, you know, to the regarding the parents that aren't role models to their children, you know, the children are looking to celebrities to basically raise them. You know, those are, that's in homes where the parents are obviously selfish, you know, because, you know, when you have a child, you know, you're supposed to look out for that child's well-being and put their needs before yours. But in those situations where the children can't even say that their parent is a role model, that's because the parent is out doing their own thing. You know, they're not even caring about the child. That's where you see people who have children, like the parents look good, but then the children don't have, you know, good clothes or shoes or anything like that. And so how can they look up to these parents as role models when they're not even present in the home or not even trying to be?
Right, right. One of the things also, too, you know, I believe that children need some form of rules, you know what I mean, some type of discipline, some form of, you have to work for stuff, I believe. For example, you know, in high school, my parents, you know, I didn't have a car or anything like that. Didn't even have our license, but they were, you know, I wanted more money. I was like, what the heck, you know, I had a job. Well, if we're like this, I didn't have a job. We didn't work. So my parents bought my trans pass. They pretty much gave us an allowance, you know, but that's because we played sports and different things like that. We're in different programs after school. So it was really no time to work, and they made sure we had everything that we need. But, you know, at the same time, I wanted certain things because I saw other people with them. Remember the time there was one of these Jordans. You know, at that time, Jordans were like, you know, $120 for like the best Jordan. That's how much they cost, $119.99. You could get the best Jordans possible. I said, Mom, you know, and you know, like I said, Mom, we didn't even ask Dad, you know, Mom, you know, can I get these Jordans? And she was like, well, how much are they? Well, they're $120. They said, what? $120? You can't get no $120 sneakers. I said, why not? No, everybody has. I'm not spending no $100. We did inventory. Let me just tell y'all, see, a lot of times, I grew up poor. Okay? See, a lot of people don't realize. See, we weren't poor. Don't get that twisted. And I tell y'all this all the time, and I will continue telling you this. We grew up poor because they sacrificed and sent all of us to private schools and the best schools that money could buy in the city of Philadelphia. That's the type of education that I had. Those are strictly because of sacrifices. So, yes, they both made, well, you know, good salaries. Dad worked for the city. Mom was in academia, you know. So, but those salaries went to our education. So, as a result, there wasn't a lot of money for clothes and trips and vacations and Nintendos. And I mean, we had certain things, but it wasn't like you see these kids now having, you know, the name brand stuff. I didn't have none of that stuff. Be clear about it. So I would say, well, you know, look, I didn't even get my hair cut. I got my hair cut once a month. You know what I'm saying? I was like, Mom, I had to ask to get a haircut. Can I get a haircut? Now, you know, it's cool. Laugh. I want people to laugh. A lot of stuff that I do now, like I stay fresh, like I like nice things, a lot of because I didn't have that growing up. So now I like nice cars. You know what I'm saying? I like nice clothes. I like name brand stuff. I like leather jackets. I like the Jordans, the LeBron James. This is stuff that now I am, you know, I like having specifically because I didn't have, but I'm not mad at it because I understand why I didn't have those things. But that being said, now that I have the means to get it for myself, I'm going to do it. You see what I'm saying? But I respect that because I learned the value of a dollar. You know what I'm saying? I learned the value of hard work that a lot of these kids don't have. So, yeah, I'm going to have those nice things, but I'm going to work for it. I'm not going to seek out the easy way to get those things. But what I'm saying is, like I said, everything I had, you know, we had to work for. But my point with it earlier was that I asked for the Jordans. She was like, you can't have. Now, they could have bought me the Jordans. I said, well, look, all right, let's bargain. I like to negotiate. I said, well, look, I get an allowance. You guys, I said, how much would, you know, we usually got the, my mom, I think she said, I said, how much can I get some sneakers for? She said, look, I'll give you $40. You get some sneakers for $40. Now, you guys know you ain't getting no name brand sneakers for $40. At least you weren't back then. You know what I'm saying? You might get a pair of Nikes on clearance, on sale, you know, maybe. Otherwise, you're getting some, the Bobos, as we used to call it, you know. So, that, I mean, hey, it is what it is. But I said, all right, look, so I have the allowance. You're already giving me $40. I said, what do you say? I'm able to just save up my allowance. You know, you give me the $40 that you were going to give me, maybe put $5 or $10 to it, and then I can get these Jordans. Still said no. You know what I'm saying? Still said no. And I said, well, that's not right. He said, look, we're just not paying that much for those types of sneakers. So long story short, I just didn't have them. And see, the thing about it is I didn't like it then, but I respected it because that was money that could have been spent on other things, more important things, and that was just too much money for sneakers. Now, everything that you know, I don't necessarily agree with that now, and I probably wouldn't. There's certain things, but the point is, I respect that. I respect these parents who are able to say no to their children. I respect that. It's not about you being their friend. It wasn't about that with us. And that's not how it should be. Some things parents say, and that's just what it is. We weren't allowed to trick or treat. We didn't do, I mean, there were so many things we weren't allowed to do. But I respect that. The problem is a lot of these kids can't say that. They can't say, I respect my mom. They can say, I don't mess with my mom like that. I don't like that nigga, my father. And I'm talking about their father. You see, and that's the reality out here. You know any kids like that?
Yeah, I do.
Right. And it's sad. You know, so what I'm saying is we have to do a better job of not trying to be these kids' friends and letting them know that, you know, you should respect them. See, we were scared of our father. You know what I'm saying? I remember my oldest brother, you know, one time he did something, and he got kind of tall, taller than my dad. He was, like, really tall. He was about 6'4". I remember one time he said something. My dad punched him in the face, punched him right in the mouth. Yeah, because he was too big. He couldn't do nothing. He punched him in the – it was just like that's just what it was. And he knew – I mean, he deserved it. He got out of line. But that's just, you know, how parents have to be. You have to respect. You have to have that respect. And if you don't, there have to be consequences. Like, for example, a lot of these like, you know, back, and you can't even really say it too much now because you don't see it like that. It's funny how things have changed. Back in the day, you used to see and you used to even hear stories about, okay, you know, if you know, girls going out on dates, and you know, bringing the boy over, and the dad just would happen to be cleaning his gun at the dining room table, you know, when she would bring the boy over to meet the father, you know, he would have to come and ring the doorbell and, you know, actually meet. See, that's how I grew up. If I was dating someone, I didn't just honk the horn, yo, come on out, meet me here. No, I actually had to go in, sit down, meet the family, meet the mom, shake the dad's hand, have a 10-15 minute conversation with them, and then they'd be like, all right, what time are you having my daughter back, da da da. And there was that respect there, you know, and it was that, you know, the father would let me or whoever know, like, look, this is my daughter, and you will respect her, or there will be consequences. See, that's how I grew up. That's how a lot of women from my generation grew up. They actually had fathers there, too. And, you know, like I said, you would hear stories about that. I mean, you know, that's just how it was. Do you hear stories like that in 2014?
No, it's non-existent.
Right. I mean, it's something that was just the culture. That's just how, I mean, there used to be jokes. There used to be skits on the living, like, whatever. I mean, people were just scared. Oh, man, is your father going to be home? Am I going to meet your father? Da, da, da. Like, that's just what it was. Now, where are the fathers at? There are no fathers. Now, it's like these kids come over. Mom is, you know, walking around in a tank top a lot of times. You know, no respect. It's just ridiculous. There's no accountability. Back in the day, you had to have the daughter home at a certain time. Otherwise, the father was, you know, was there, you know, sitting up waiting, like, yo, where you been at? Nowadays, mom is up somewhere passed out or asleep or doing whatever it is she does. Kids break, you know, sneaking the kid in up to their bedroom, watching TV all hours of night, having sex on the couch. Mom is upstairs sleep away or not home at all, getting pregnant at 17, 18. Why? See, there was, because they could. See, there has to be some form of accountability. You know, I got in trouble for trying to sneak women into the crib in high school or, you know, like that stuff. I mean, yeah, I tried it. Yeah, I did it. But, I mean, it wasn't easy. Like, and that's the thing. I'm not going to say I was perfect. I'm not going to say I never did anything I wasn't supposed to. But what I'm saying is the fact is I had to sneak. And I was successful, but I still had to sneak. I still actually got caught sometimes doing certain things. Now there is no sneaking and there is no getting caught. It's just a different time, a different culture. It's socially acceptable to just have sex. You know what I'm saying? And nobody sees a problem with that. Nobody wants to talk about how we have just totally made acceptable the things that we grew up that were not acceptable. I'm saying, and we have the audacity to question where these STDs are coming from, why there have been so many abortions. You know, why there are so many single moms? Well, because you're having sex with men who don't want to be with you. You know what I'm saying? And if a man busts up in you raw and he's expecting it just to be a one-night stand, but you know, because he's young and dumb and decides to go raw dog, and now all of a sudden you're pregnant, that doesn't mean he's going to want you. It just means he's stupid. He's not going to want a baby if he didn't even want you. So now we have, back to the beginning of the show, you have yourself in a position of either going into a life super hard for yourself, which would mean super hard for that child, or going ahead and just ending the pregnancy with an abortion. You know, decisions, decisions. Far more women are choosing the abortion than to take responsibility for the fact they wanted to get smashed off on a Friday night by a man who they were not in a relationship with, in most cases, weren't even planning on being in a relationship with. Or I should say, wasn't planning on being in a relationship with them. I was watching something interesting today. Absolutely ridiculous. One of the most ridiculous things. It's funny how God sets things up, because like I said, I wasn't even going to do tonight's show, but I just happened to be in this in the car place, and we were in the waiting room, and they had The View on. And I can't remember the last time I watched The View. But many of you faithful listeners from back in the day, you remember one of the realest shows we've ever done. We did a special, a three-hour special on discussing Sherry Shepherd, you know what I'm saying, and the emotional unavailability of her. It was right around that time when she talked, did the whole, why can't I find a good man and all that foolishness. But Google that when you get some time. Like, go back and listen to that show on Sherry Shepherd and how she represents a lot of the things we're talking about today, a lot of the bad attitudes and the horrible mentalities of many women as far as why they're not being chosen by the best men. And we talked about that. One of the things that we spoke about was the fact that, and she's admitted this, having had multiple abortions and having had sex with more people than she can even count or remember. You know what I'm saying? And this is Sherry Shepherd of The View. And this is amazing. This is someone, again, multiple abortions, is self-admittedly was extremely promiscuous. The topic today, they did a segment with this young woman from Duke University. I don't know if you guys heard, but she did porn to put herself through school, to pay her tuition. And so, you know how they get on The View, you know, all self-righteous, like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, my God, and Sherry Shepherd going on and on about, I mean, I just don't understand. I just can't understand. There's got to be another way. And, I mean, she just couldn't find something else to do with herself, and there's got to be another way to pay her tuition. And that's just, I'm just looking. You know what I'm saying? I'm really just, like, looking at the TV screen with this blank stare. Like, really? You're going to sit up here in front of millions of people and lecture this young girl, this little white girl. And she just had this ridiculous condescending look on her face, like the whole interview. I'm like, yo, you were a hoe back in the day. You were, at least she's getting paid for it. You were just letting niggas smash raw for no reason, and you had multiple abortions as a result. You know what I'm saying? Like, ridiculous. And she, and I'm just looking like, she's sitting up there trying to talk down to this girl for doing porn to put herself through Duke University. And me and the other guys were just looking like, wait a minute, we know about you. Like, who are you to be? Now, that's where we talk about judging. You see what I'm saying? That's a great example of judging. Because I even said, I didn't have a problem with that girl from Duke University doing porn. Y'all might be saying, well, what do you mean? How do you not have a problem? What do you mean? How do I have a, I don't, because that, it's not my concern. What she does is her, it was for her. She's not out here telling little girls to go out and do porn to put themselves through school. She's not out here lecturing, you know, elementary school, you know, girls. She's not out here trying to be some type of role model. She's saying, look, I'm not making excuses. This is who I am. This is what I did. This is why I did it. I'm not asking people to co-sign. I'm not asking for your approval. This is just a decision I made, and I'm sharing it with you guys right now. I mean, what can you say to that? You see what I'm saying? You can't say anything. You're like, okay, cool. I mean, that's, I don't agree with it. I wouldn't support that, but I'm not going to sit here and judge you for it. And Sherry Shepherd and the rest of those people, Whoopi Goldberg, all of them, were sitting up there just judging her. And it was ridiculous. Did you hear about the Duke University young woman?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear about that at all. But that just reminds me of that scripture. What does it say? Remove the plank from your own eye? Well, I'm paraphrasing it. But, I mean, Sherry Shepherd has a lot of nerve. That's crazy to me.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know, and the funny thing is sometimes people, you know, when you could tell they start believing their own hype, like just because she's now on The View, like this is such a great show, and it's just like, oh, whoop-de-doo. You know, now you're somebody else. You're no longer that girl that used to let dudes run trains on you. Now you're Sherry Shepherd. You're the comedian. You're the actress. You're the host of whatever stupid talk show it is. I mean, game show that she does. What is it, the Newlywed Game or some crap? So, but it's crazy. Guys, I see a call on the line. Let's go to the phone line. I see a call on the line from the 919 area code. Welcome to the Dayton Tolbert Show. Hello? 919, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, hello, sorry. Welcome.
I was turning down the blog talk so we wouldn't cross lines. But this is just more like a comment in reference to what you were saying about parenting. A friend of mine our son is a little older now, he's probably about 15, but at the time he was like 12 years old, and she was letting him receive phone calls from little girls. And I said to her, don't you think that's inappropriate? You don't want to promote that because he's still pretty young, and that's encouraging him. It's just giving him the wrong impression to think it's okay to start thinking about dating at such a young age. And I said to her, the most important thing is for him to focus on his grades and just to be a kid. You don't want him to grow ahead of his time. So, and she didn't see anything wrong with it. She was like, no, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, I'm a single parent. My son is 25 now, but I never let him receive phone calls, especially as a preteen, because then I'm just giving him permission to say, yeah, it's okay. And then the next thing you know, they're having sex, and then you're having sex in your house, but you promoted it all along. And then some people think, oh, that's nothing, it's cute. But those are the things, you know, the Bible says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. And you have to be aware and mindful of those things way before they get to high school, because if you co-sign with it now, when they get to high school, you can't tell them any different because you were co-signing all along when they were in preschool, or in middle school. But anyway, I just wanted to share that. That's just a comment I wanted to make.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for calling. Where are you calling in from?
North Carolina.
Cool. Great to hear from you. Great comments. I mean, you're right. I think that we all have to, as parents, and like I said earlier, just as people who care, we have to be concerned with what's going on, because that's where it starts, is actually caring. Because these celebrities do not care about anything but their bank accounts. You know, people are living vicariously through people like Beyonce and, you know, Jay-Z and T.I. and, I mean, just whoever else. I mean, they don't care. So we have to care. You understand that? And we cannot rely on these entertainers to raise our kids and to show them, you know, anything, because they're going to show them the wrong thing. I was just to go back real quick. I was going to tell you guys a story about how, you know, just going back to how young boys used to have that fear and that respect for the fathers of the women that they were interested in seeing. Well, I had that with my wife. You understand? Like, her father was a really great. I actually did a whole show on him this a couple of years ago. The definition, if you guys Google the definition of a great father, you know, that was a whole tribute show to her father, who passed away a couple of years ago, who was a great example of what a father should be, what a man should be. And I mean, you know, he literally, you know, one day we pulled me, I was a grown man when we started dating, you know what I'm saying? But he still pulled me to the side and said, look, you know, this is my daughter. I love her, and I got her back unconditionally, you know, so just you understand that I have her back, and she is, you know, protected. You know, and ain't going to be no craziness going on. I mean, this was something, like I said, this was like a couple of years ago, you know, and I respected that, you know, and I think that, and we had that, like I said, we had that man-to-man talk, you know, he was a very integral part of the wedding planning, but even before that, I went old school, asked for her hand in marriage, asked for permission, asked if it was okay. You know what I'm saying? He said, yes, son, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, gave me his blessing, and that's what that was. And so that is what is missing in today's society from these fathers. That is what, I mean, not to mention that's what's missing from the men, these boys growing up to men who don't even know how to be chivalrous. You guys missed our special on chivalry. It, you know, we do it every year. We do an annual assessment of chivalry. I think we started in 2012, 2013. We just recently did Is Chivalry Dead in 2013, right before the new year. Check that out if you missed it. Because a lot of times women will think that opening a car door is a chivalrous act. A lot of times women will think holding a door open is a chivalrous act. A lot of times women will think a man, I don't know, pulling your chair out for you is a chivalrous act. These are not chivalrous acts. These are things that all men should naturally do. You know, if you guys don't know the difference, you know, between chivalry and just being a gentleman, you got to check it out. You got to check out that particular show. But, you know, a lot of men out here were never taught either. They weren't taught how to be chivalrous. They weren't even taught how to be gentlemen. They weren't even taught how to be men. The streets taught them how to be men, which is unfortunate. See, people like us, like me, my brothers, you know, we were taught not only how to be corporate, you know, educated, you know, how to conduct ourselves in corporate America, how to conduct ourselves in a boardroom and in a social environment, but also just how to not get shot. You know, how to walk away from a fight, at the same time how to hold our hands and conduct ourselves in a fight. See, these are the things that a lot of these kids don't know. They don't know either one, so they just know, look, I'll just go grab a gun, I'll just pull the trigger. I'm not fighting. You know what I'm saying? They weren't taught how to be men, so they don't understand that. They're just grabbing a gun and shooting. That's why they end up in jail. So, and you see these guys out here, Courtney. Any experience with those guys from a dating perspective?
I was about to say, yeah. Yeah. Just no father in the home. And it's funny that we're talking about it because most, if not all, of the guys I dealt with, they didn't have a father in the home. You know, either their dad was in jail or he's just non-existent. They didn't know who they were. And so as a result, like, you know, they weren't chivalrous, and they definitely weren't gentlemen. And so as a result, when I did meet a guy that would open the door for me and do things like that, I thought it was a big deal. Like, I was like, oh, my gosh, he opened the door for me. He must be the guy, you know, the man for me. But just not realizing I was dealing with men that weren't raised by their fathers. And so that's why it was such a shock to meet a guy who was actually a gentleman. at the very least.
Right. And so, yeah, that's unfortunate because, you know, a lot of women do mistake, you know, chivalry for just being a gentleman or just doing what's right. You know, just doing what's right. So, like I said, I want to stop right here. A lot of times people are like, wow, Dad, you want to stop? Yeah, we want to stop right here. Because, like I said, I want to break tonight's show up, this topic, into a couple different installments. That and the fact that I want to go to sleep and get some rest, you know what I'm saying? That also. But aside from that, I do want to break it up into three different installments of, you know, like I said, identifying the problem. Like, what is the actual problem? Today we really spent a lot of time talking about the root of the problem, like going back to childhood, going back to sparing the rod and, you know, the roles. And that's just identifying the problem. We talked a little bit about what's going on out here. We still, you know, we didn't even really scratch the surface of the actual problem. So in the next show, I want to get more into that, and I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, what we can, as a community, can do to solve some of those problems. Because a lot of times people just do shows like this. Actually, it would be nice if people did shows like this, but people don't even do shows like this. Forget actual follow-ups in part two. They don't even talk about the problem, let alone talk about a solution. I want to do it all. I want to talk about the problem, then I want to really get together to talk about the solution. What are some things we can do as a community, as individuals, to you know, just really make a difference and try to turn things around, because our kids are the ones that are suffering. You know, there's no positive role models out there. There's nothing on TV positive to watch. I was watching, funny thing, interestingly enough, I was watching The View. Everybody complains about, oh, there's nothing on TV, no, nothing of substance. You know, the dude T.J. Holmes that used to be on CNN, then he went over to BET, light-skinned dude. He was doing a news type of show, but, you know, he talked about current events and issues that, you know, were relevant in the black community. It was on BET late night. I don't know if you guys remember. I don't believe it's on anymore. I believe it was canceled. I remember last time I really checked in on it, it was in danger of being canceled. They were saying how low the ratings were. But so I believe now that it's canceled, now he's on MSNBC doing something. And but the point of that is, it's like, wow, you know, people will say, oh, we don't have anything to watch. We don't have any positive. Not saying he's a role model, but from what I understand, it was a positive show, but we didn't even watch that. You know, people would rather watch, you know, whatever else is on late at night than to, you know, watch something that's actually positive, that speaks about actual issues. It lasted maybe less than a season. You know, so, you know, when there are, like, even tonight, this is a good show. Like, we really talked about some good issues tonight. But this will not be one of my highest rated shows. You know, when we get back to doing what we normally do, you know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, that's when people, you know, that's where the ratings really are. That's where, not that I could care less about the ratings, but I'm just saying, those typically are our highest rated shows when we talk about things that people can relate to from an entertainment standpoint. Every show is going to be educational, but then when we tie in certain aspects of entertainment into it, it's like, wow, okay, yeah, this is juicy. This is good stuff, you know, which is okay. That's all well and good, but this is stuff that's also just as important, if not more important. So look out. I can't tell y'all when, but definitely we'll be coming back with a part two to talk about the solutions. Yeah, that's it. Courtney, any last words or, you know, words of wisdom, advice for the people?
Yes. So what I'll say is, of course, I enjoyed the show as always. And, you know, to those that listen, you know, if you do have children, I know for sure what we talked about, you know, today is, you know, will help you just be a great parent if you aren't already, you know, to your child. And if you do not have children, at least you know at this point the standard that should be set for your child so your child does not become a statistic. And so I enjoyed it. Can't wait for parts two and three. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. As always a pleasure. tonight's show was brought to you by Talbert Relationship Counseling. If you guys need any type of counseling or relationship counseling, anything you need, definitely reach out. Call 855-55-DATON. Dadon at trctoday.com, Courtney at trctoday.com. We do all types of counseling, free consultations. This is the time, guys. This is the time. I mean, don't you know, the spring is here. You know, it's that time where, you know, people are going to start dating. People are going to start getting out there mixing and mingling and all that stuff. But you want to do it under the right circumstances. You want to do it while you're emotionally available. You don't want to start dating somebody now and then next, you know, fall, figure out, wow, maybe I should have actually taken them up on that counseling session. So do it now just so you can date while, you know, under the right circumstances, because just as Halle Berry. And I don't like to make light. I don't like to say I told you so, but we did this. Gerald and I don't know if you guys remember, but those of you who have been around for a minute, one of the first real shows that we did when we really converted more so to relationship types of stuff, we made that switch. There was a show entitled, and you guys can probably Google it. It's from maybe, I want to say, at least 4 or 5 years ago, but Why Halle Berry is the Poster Child for Emotional Unavailability. That was at least 4 years ago, and that was the title of the show. Should come up if you type that in. And you can actually hear that, like, at least a two-hour show, how we talked about just the level of emotional unavailability. We talked about a lot of past relationships, a lot of negative behavior and things that she did, and we talked about how that foundation will be what keeps her single indefinitely. That was a show we did 4 years ago. Many of you may have heard she was engaged and she's now broken up, you know, from I guess her fiance, and it's just a very sad situation. We predicted all of this like what, 3-4 relationships ago. You know what I'm saying? Did you hear about the breakup?
No, I don't keep up with her. I just know that she's in and out of relationships.
Right. So I don't like to, you know, like, I mean, I get no pleasure in saying, oh, yeah, I told you. I mean, whether it's Kim Kardashian, whether it's Jennifer Lopez, we've talked about all these celebrities, all these breakups that will happen, you know, and have happened. So I say all that to say, if you're going to date, if you're going to, you know, get into a situation, just, you know, make sure everything is right first, you know. So there's that. Last but not least, we've been talking about it, but we officially launched TRC Auto Sales. The grand opening was this past week, so we've got at least 20 cars on the lot, guys. We specialize in cars under $3,000, under $2,000, nice cars, good quality cars, under $5,000. If you're looking for something inexpensive, come on out, 6422 Stinton Avenue here in Philadelphia. It's right in Mount Airy, this section, if you're Philly, Jersey, Delaware. You know, come on out, check us out there. We're open all the time. I'm not there all the time, but we're open all the time. Come get a car. Just got, what, I mean, Courtney, I mean, I'm just trying to think, 02 Mazda Millennia, you know what I'm saying, about $3,000, you know what I'm saying, come on down. Nice cars, Courtney. You know what,
man,
Lexus.
I want a
just
car.
Yeah, man, yo, come on down, man. Just got a nice 97 Lexus. We'll let that go for like $2,000, you know what I'm saying, come on down. Like $2,000 for a Lexus, nice, clean.
What?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just got it yesterday. I didn't even get a chance to upload the pictures. Navigator, Lincoln Navigator, 04 Navigator. What else is on? Y'all know Audi convertible is up there, you know. So these are all, come on down. Good cars, good quality. You know, sometimes you need a car, but you know how used cars people, they scam you. If I sell y'all a bad car, you can call into the show and cuss me out and put me on blast. That's our guarantee. You know how you call into the show, you get a car, you call into the show if it's a bad car, and let me know. Let everybody know. But no, seriously, we try to sell good cars. And so come on down if you're interested, call 855-55-THEY-DON. Yeah, that's what it is, man. Look, thank y'all for tuning in. I appreciate it. And we will be back a little bit later in the week. If you know somebody, last but not least, if you know somebody that, you know, did not hear this show but is a parent who is not necessarily the best parent, but you feel like they might benefit from hearing this information tonight, definitely tell them to tune in. Check out the archives at DeDonTolbertShow.com. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you all tomorrow night. Peace. Great.
don't over-motivate you, girl. But they don't be a motivation, child. Let they don't overcome and rock your world. Let they don't be your motivation, child. Let they don't over-motivate you, girl. Let they don't be your motivation, child. Let they don't overcome and change your world. Don't ever let yourself settle for less. You don't have to be a fool. Call them up, let the tears fall. Little girl, don't be lost anymore. This brother has a master plan. Lean on his wisdom if you feel weak. I guarantee it will help you stand. Maybe you've lost your way again. Let
they don't be your motivation, child. Let they don't overcome and change your world.